So today we want to study the insights of Moshe Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. The question is, both in terms of the mitzvah of Bikurim, and in terms of what's called Vidui, Maaser Sheni, in both cases the Torah mentions in the Nusach of Vidui that you have to say, it's the land, I'm thanking Hashem for the land that God promised to my forefathers. What's the status of the Ger? So the Rambam Paskins, which is very surprising in light of the Mishnah and Bikurim, the Rambam in Perek Dal in Milchus Bikurim Alocha Gimel Paskins that Hager may be Vikore. And the Rambam has a special drasha to include Ger in the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. Now the fact that the Ger is Chayiv in Bikurim, that's not a Chiddush. Nobody questions that premise, because he has land, or she owns now, and he has peros, and the first fruits he has to bring as Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. But Kriyas HaParsha, that's much more complicated, because in the Parsha itself, it says, Ha'aretz Asher Nishba Hashem La'avoseinu. La'aseis lan. La'avoseinu means to our forefathers. So the Rambam says he's like kilu not bothered. He ignores this pasuk at this point of Asher Nishba Lavosenu, and he says, "Look, it says Li Avraham. God promises Avraham when he changes his name, Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticha." Now, if you look in the Mishnah in the first Perek of Bikurim, you get the opposite impression. The Mishnah says Elu. He has a list of those who are Mevi'im, the Chayav in Bikurim, but Lo Korim. They don't read the parsha. And on the list we have, lo and behold, Ger mevi v'eino kore. And the Mishnah says explicitly why. She'eino yochel lomar asher nishba Hashem lavosenu loses lanu. In the pasuk itself, which forms the backbone of Mikra Bikurim, of the Kriya, it says asher nishba Hashem lavosenu. The Mishnah says clearly, therefore, since the Ger is excluded, he cannot recite this pasuk, asher nishba Hashem lavosenu, Eino Kore. If he has a mother who's Jewish, that's something totally different. Then everybody agrees that wasn't the Chiddush of the Rambam. The Mishnah itself paskins that in such a case, maybe the Kore. He doesn't have to have a father who is Jewish, he has to have a mother who's Jewish. That establishes his Yichus as Yichusei Yisrael. Oh, so what is the source for the Rambam? The Rambam cannot ever paskin a Mishnah. The answer is Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi quotes a shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and apparently for some reason, which we'll have to sort out, the Rambam paskins like this shita in the Yerushalmi of Rabbi Yehuda, Ger mevi vikore, my time up, ki av hamon goyim nesatich. So the Rambam seems to have preferred the Yerushalmi and left out the Bavli. The reason for that is the Yerushalmi itself has a clear-cut psak halacha, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Rambam paskins like this statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi in the Yerushalmi, accepting the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, even though apparently the Chachom did not accept that sheet, because the Mishnah mentions that Ger mevi v'eino kore, but the Rambam chose, based on Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That itself is not difficult. But let's ask a couple of questions here. Question number one. Why does the Mishnah say that the reason why a ger is excluded, according to the opinion of the Chachamim, from Kriyas Parshas Mikra Bikurim, because he cannot say the words Asher Nishba Lavosenu? I think I have a copy here. Oh. Forget about that. We have another reason why a ger should not be able to read the Parsha Bikurim. And that's based on another Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in the fourth Perek of Bikurim a whole list of enumerated individuals who are excluded from Mikra Bikurim because they cannot say Asher Nasato Li Hashem, which means that they are Enam Notlim Chelik Baaretz. Okay, so for this Don, I'd have to write something on the board, but if you have the photocopy, you might be able to underline in such a way that you'll save me the... Do you see...
This line.
Yeah, so we're going to count from the top of the page. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
The seven lines. And if you could underline the words, Mi shalo natal chilek ba'aretz. Can you find those four words? Mi shalo, actually five words. Mi shalo natal chilek ba'aretz. You don't see it. Okay, let's count down again. Well, maybe I miscounted.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
lines down, I meant to say, from the top.
Yeah.
And you'll see the words, see if you can find them and underline them. Mi shalo natal chelek ba'aretz.
The line begins with lon delo natal.
Do I have the, which paragraph? Maybe I'm in the wrong
page. Maybe I have the wrong page for you?
Yeah.
Oh, so I gave you the wrong page. Sorry.
Yeah.
I gave you the wrong page. Now I know what happened.
Now I can read the Hebrew.
Right. Here, this is the page I wanted to give you. Now, again, try counting seven lines down.
Sorry.
Yeah. And.
Yeah, Mishalo.
Natal Chelek Ba'aretz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this phrase, Mishalo Natal Chelek Ba'aretz, is copied, is taken from a Mishnah in Masechet Bikurim, which establishes the following. There are categories of individuals that are notel chelik ba'aretz, and there are categories of individuals who are not notel chelik ba'aretz. Which means that when they divvy up the land, you may recall from your travels through Tanakh, and all you have to do is read Sefer Yoshua at the very beginning of Tanakh, it says there that Yoshua, after he conquered the land, he divvied it up amongst the people. For example, the Shvatim and the Mishpachos, a person who belonged to one Shevet, belonged to one Mishpacha. But, for example, there are a number of people who do not have a Chelek Ba'aretz. For example, the land was divvied up amongst the males and not amongst the females. Even though we'll have soon the Parsha Benos Slavcha, but that's a fluky case. That's not an original Netila Be'eretz Yisrael. Really, they just inherit their father's portion. But as far as the original Netila back at the time of Chalukas Ha'aretz, the women were not included. Neither was an Eved, nor was somebody who has the status of a Suffolk, which is called a Tumtum or an Androgynous. But we don't have to go into all those details. The point is that a person has to be able to say, I belong to those, to that group that would have received at the time of the division of the land a territory, a piece of land in Israel. Now, Rav Soloveitchik is bothered by the following question. The Mishnah speaks about a ger, and at first glance, if we don't know otherwise, a ger would be included under this category called, as you underlined it, Mi Shalo Natal Chelek Ba'aretz. And why is that? Because although he may buy land, maybe eventually he'll be able to come into possession of land, but he cannot be part of the original Chaluk of Eretz Yisrael. Think about his ancestors, for example. His ancestors were not Jewish. They did not get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Why does that lead to Rav Soloveitchik to a problem? Well, for two reasons. Number one, we started with the Rambam at the very beginning of the presentation of the essay, that the Rambam says, Ager may be vikore. He can read the parsha, but yet we're excluding, according to the Mishnah, those who did not participate and did not have a right to gain possession of the land in the original Chalukah from Mikra Bikurim, and therefore the ger should be excluded from Mikra Bikurim. Not only that, the one opinion that we find in the Mishnah that says that a ger is excluded from Mikra Bikurim, it does not pin it on the fact that he's Eino Notel Chelek Ba'aretz, but rather on the fact that he cannot recite the Pasuk Asher Nishba Hashem Lavoseinu. This is something in the actual parsha, in the Kriya, in the text that he has to read, which is non-applicable to him. That's only the first question that Rav Soloveitchik asks. So let's just see this question. He says, Loma Nizkeka Mishnah Lataima Deini Yochel Loma Avosenu. The Mishnah could have just simply presented the explanation that a ger cannot read the parsha of Mikra Bikurim because Lo Natal Chelek Ba'aretz. Now he gets to his second kasha. The Mishnah says that Im Hoysa Imo Mi Yisrael, if this ger had a Jewish mother, Mevi v'kore. Wait a second. Netilas chelik b'eretz Yisrael, when Yoshua divvied up the land, it was based on what lineage? Maternal or paternal?
Paternal.
And therefore, what good does it do us that this ger has a Jewish mother? At the end of the day, that's not enough to give him the status of notel chelek ba'aretz. Lo mahani mashe imo miYisrael be'ino mishpachas ha'av. The pasuk itself says it. Ulishmos matos avosam yincholu. So the nachla of Eretz Yisrael, the divvying up in the land, is based on a paternal lineage, but not a maternal lineage. Now we have another question. How could it be, according to Rabbi Yehuda and the Rambam passings like Rabbi Yehuda, that a ger is mevi and he's also kore, and he could say, he could recite the posuk Asher Nishba Hashem La'av Oseinu to our forefathers, based on the posuk Av Hamon Goyim Nesatich, meaning that God establishes Avram as the father of many nations? It doesn't matter. Even if he could recite that pasuk, and he could say, well, I have Nishba L'Avoseinu insofar as Avram Avinu is my father as well, because Av Hamon Goyim L'Satir, but at the end of the day, he never received a Chelik Ba'aretz. For example, take the case of an Isha. We said that a woman does not read the parasha of Mikra Bikurim. Why? Because Lo Natlo Chelik Ba'aretz, she was not part of the divvying up of the land at the time of the Yoshua. Even though she can certainly say Ha'aretz Asher Nishba Hashem L'Avoseinu, there's no question that the land was promised to her forefathers. She's a good Jewish woman. Why not? But yet she's excluded from Mikra Bikurim by virtue of the fact of Lo Natlo Chelik Ba'aretz. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And a ger, insofar as he's also in that same classification, that Lo Natlo Chelik Ba'aretz, he should be excluded from Mikra Bikurim. The plot grows a little bit thicker in the next paragraph that says, Ayin Barash. The Rash, you should know, he's known as Rav Shimon Mishantz, was the commentary, he's the most important commentary on the Yerushalmi and on the Mishnayos in Zeroyim, on Tosefta. In any event, he claims that the Mishnah is talking about B'nai Kini. You know that there were some members of Klal Yisrael who did not come from the Yud Bei Shvatim. They were not descendants of the 12 tribes. There's the Kini, and there are others. And Lefichach Ein Bam Ikuvin Netilas Chelik. He says the following, that the B'nai Kini, even though they weren't from the 12 Shvatim, insofar as they associated themselves and joined the Jewish nation, they were given a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, there's no problem, as far as they're concerned, of Mikra Bikurim, because they could say, Natlu Chelik Ba'aretz. We did, in fact, participate, or our ancestors participated, in the division of the land. So therefore, if you're only talking about Avoseinu, okay, they could say Avoseinu because of this principle called Av Hamon Goyim Nesatich. If you're talking about Netilas Chelek, the B'nai Kini, in fact, did receive a portion in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the machlokas we have between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, he says, according to the Rashmi Shantz, applies to this case of Kini. Whether or not Kini are included in La Avoseinu, they're certainly included in Netilas Chelek. What about other gerim who do not come? They don't. What's the word I'm looking for? Not derived. They don't. They're not born. They're not descendants. Okay, they don't descend. That's the word I wanted. They don't descend from Kini at all. Shar gerim. Nobody would hold that they can read the Mikra Bikur, because Lo Natlu Chelik Ba'aretz. It's only the B'nai Kini, says the Rashmi Shantz. That's the exclusion, that's the exceptional case, because they did take part in the, and they had a Chelik in Eretz Yisrael. Now the Rama writes, as we saw in the opening line, Hager Mevi V'Kore. Which Ger? Is he only talking about a Ger who's B'nai Kini? Oh, that's a far stretch to assume that the Rambam here is like the Rashmi Shantz. No, the Rambam says that any ger is included in the parasha of the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. He's not dividing, he's not distinguishing between this ger, who's a ben kini, or another ger. Everyone, every single ger is maybe the Koret. And then we come back to that question, what about the fact that he's Eino Notel Chelek Ba'aretz? So that's what we have here on the first page. Let's just summarize some of the questions we asked. Why does the Mishnah have to say that the reason why a ger is excluded from Kriya is because he cannot recite Lavoseinu? Even if I grant you that he could recite Lavoseinu, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, nevertheless there's another problem, a more fundamental problem. He's not part of Netilas Chelek Ba'aretz. Question number two, which is another permutation of the same question, the Rambam seems to assume, and that's also in the Mishnah itself, that if this ger has a Jewish mother, and he's only a ger because of his non-Jewish father, if that be the case, then he's included in Mikra Bikurim. Why should it be Mikra Bikurim? Mikra Bikurim depends upon Nachla. Nachla goes through the father and not through the mother. And finally, our third question is, what good does it do, the Mishnah, and therefore the Rambam, if a ger can recite Asher Nishbal Avoseinu based on the pasuk of Ha'av Hamod Goyim Nesatich? At the end of the day, he still should be excluded from Mikra Bikurim because of the halacha of Netilas Chelek, and he was not Notel Chelek Ba'aretz. And if you think we're finished with our questions, we're not. Turn to page 2. And you should have pages 2 and 3, I think, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's take a look at Maaser Sheni. In Maaser Sheni, there's something very similar to Bikurim. Maaser Sheni requires, likewise, a Kriyas HaParsha. And that Parsha is known in the Mishnah as Vidui Masros. And the Mishnah says, Mikana Omu Yisrael Mamzeru Misvad Mahol Lo Gerim V'lo Avodim Mishukram Shein Lem Chelik Baretz. The Mishnah tells us that as far as Vidui Maasros is concerned, the ger is excluded from Vidui Maaser because he's not part of the original Chalukas Haaretz. His ancestors did not have rights to possess any land at the time of the division of the land. And we would assume, unless we know otherwise, that the requirement of Natal Chelek Ba'aretz, which appears here with regard to Maaser Sheni and Vidui Maaser Sheni, should apply with regard to Mikra Bikurim as well. We don't know of any difference between Vidui Maaser Sheni and Mikra Bikurim. And yet the Rambam paskins in Ilchus Maaser Sheni, Perek Yud Alef Halacha Yud Zayin, that a ger is excluded from Vidui Maaser. And why is that? Because Lo Natlu Chelek Ba'aretz. But yeah, we had a whole Mishnah that gives us a list of people who are excluded from Mikra Bikurim because of Lo Natlu Chelek Ba'aretz. If a ger is excluded from Maaser Sheni, from Vidui Maaser, because he's not a notel Chelek Ba'aretz, then he should, by the same token, be excluded from Mikra Bikurim because he's not a notel Chelek Ba'aretz. And one of the prerequisites for Mikra Bikurim is Notel Chelek Ba'aretz. So why does the Rambam say that a ger, maybe Vikore, he's included in the Kriya? And what's the difference between Vidui Maaser in the case of a ger, that he's not misvada because Lo Notel Chelek Ba'aretz, but in Bikurim he does read the Parsha according to Rashi of Mikra Bikurim, even though he's Lo Notel Chelek Ba'aretz? He says the following, that if we would assume the Mishnah is talking about Bnei Keni, like Kini, like we saw in the Rash, then we could possibly work out this question. And only with regard to Bnei Keni can we allow them to read the Parsha of Bikurim and even obligate them to do so. Shar Gerim, the entire balance of all other converts. Einam Korim, they cannot read the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Why shalom not Luchelik Baretz? And for the same reason that they cannot recite Vidui and Maaser Sheni, they cannot recite the Parsha Mikra Bikurim. But all this is fine and dandy until we get to the Rambam, because the Rambam says that lahalacha, we pass in that all the Gerim have to read Mikra Bikurim, and the implication is that that includes all Gerim. So what's going on?
Well, I'm asking the same way by the Muslim.
I think we're going to get to that later on. I don't remember what the din is. But are we on board as far as the comparison and the contrast in this case between Vidui Maaseh, Maaseh Sheni, and Mikra Bikurim? Right. The Rambam excludes a ger from Vidui Maaseh Sheni because Lo Natal Chelik Varis, but he includes a ger in Mikra Bikurim, even though the Rambam will exclude many people from Mikra Bikurim for the very reason of Lo Natal Chelik Varis.
Right.
So what's the difference between Mikra Bikurim and Maaseh Sheni? The status of a ger changes from one to the other. In the case of Maaseh Sheni, the ger is excluded. He cannot recite Vidui Maaseh Sheni. But in the case of Mikra Bikurim, the Rambam says he's very much included. Now, another question that we could ask is, the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni completely omits the status of women, of Noshim, with regard to Vidui Maaseh Sheni. And the question is, in Mikra Bikurim, the Mishnah establishes that Nashim are excluded from the obligation of Mikra Bikurim. Einam Koros, because they're not Luchel Baretz. And yet the Rambam in Maaseh Sheni doesn't exclude the lady folk. It sounds like even the lady folk are included in the mitzvah of Vidui Maaseh Sheni. Why is that so? Now, Ger Korei Aval Eino Misvada, Isha Misvada Aval Eino Kora. In other words, we have here in the Rambam a very new halacha. Let's mark this down. If somebody could keep a scorecard, this we would have a little bit of a tavla. What's it called in English?
A table.
Say it again.
A table.
A table. Excellent. A little table. If we could build a little table here. The table would have on top of it the following two columns. It would have Vidui Masros on one column, and it would have Mikra Bikurim on the other column. Okay? Now, on the left side of this table, you would put Ger and Isha. Okay, so then we have to fill out two boxes for Ger and two boxes for Isha. Okay? The first box we want to fill in for Ger is with regard to Mikra Bikurim, and the Rambam checks it off, that Ger is Kore. The second box for Ger would be Vidui Masros, and here the Rambam passes that Ger is not included in Vidui Masros, like the Mishnah in Perkei. Then we get down to Isha, and Isha, the Rambam says, is included in Vidui Masros, and yet, when it comes to Mikra Bikurim, the Rambam says that an Isha is excluded from Mikra Bikurim. Isha Misvada Avalena Kor. She's excluded from Mikra Bikurim, but she's included in Vidui. I may have gotten that wrong, but now we have it right. So if you don't mind, Don, you know, putting this into a table and.
Well, I can do a table, but I did not.
Oh, you did it here?
Yeah.
So I'll let me do a quick table here. Because I think this will help us. And Rabosa, you'll fill in the table for me, or dictate to me. We'll do it the following way. We have Vidui Masros, and we have Mikra Bikurim. Okay? That's what we have here. Vidui Masros and Mikra Bikurim. Now we have Ger, and we have Isha. Okay? A ger, as far as Vidui Maaseros, is excluded. A ger, as far as Mikra Bikurim, is included. An Isha, as far as Mikra Bikurim, is excluded. And as far as Vidui Maaseros, she's included.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know why, because the overriding principle seems to be identical in both cases. And that is, we have to address the issue. Are you a no-till chelik baretz, or are you not a no-till chelik baretz? And the truth is, in both cases, whether it's an Isha or a Ger, the answer should be no. The Ger doesn't have the categorization of Notel Kei Baretz, and the Isha lacks that categorization. So if you would ask me, I would have put four X's here. And yet the Rambam is Machshir and Isha for Vidui Maaseros. He passes an Isha for Mikra Bikurim. He excludes the Ger from Vidui Maaseros, presumably because they know Notel Kei Baretz. But he includes the ger in Mikra Bikurim, despite the fact that he's Eino Notel Chelik Baretz. us. Why is that so? And now, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik starts from the words Va'asher Nired, if you follow that paragraph, and he begins to present a thesis to try to answer up all these questions. Very, very challenging task, you know, it's almost overwhelming. Okay. So in typical Briskis style, he takes the concept of Netilas Chelik Ba'aretz, which you might want to underline again a second time, in the paragraph Asher Nireh. Do you have that?
Yeah.
So you Asher Nireh, so you can underline the next three words, Netilas Chelik Ba'aretz, and then he says, Nemru Shtei Halachot Miyuchadot Ushnei Dinim Nifradim.
What a surprise.
Right. In other words, sometimes you have one halacha, one principle, and it hides the fact that there are really two principles. So you take a hammer and you smash it into two, and that's what he's doing for us. First of all, the first halacha is what's called Zchus Avram the Eretz Yisrael. You may recall that in Parshas Lech Lecha, God commands Avram to walk the land in its boundaries. And at that point, Avram Avinu makes what we call a kinyan, an acquisition of the land. We, insofar as we are his descendants, we have the schus, meaning the monetary rights to inherit the schus of Avram Avinu in Eretz Yisrael. That's one way of defining netilas chelik ba'aretz. In other words, I take my land, I take my part and my nachla in the land of Israel through the fact that Avram Avinu, my forefather, has already made and acquired a possession, a kinyan on the land. Now, to summarize that first halacha, you'll see on line 3, and once again you'll have to underline this, at the end of line 3 in the paragraph Asher Nireh. Do you have such a thing?
Yep.
Eretz Yisrael muchzekes hi biyadenu me'avoseinu. Muchzekes means we have possession, we have ownership of the land. Mi avosenu, by virtue of the fact that we inherited the land from our avos. And specifically, which one of the avos?
Avram
Avinu. Shenitna li Avram lezaro achrov. The land was given, was specified to Avram and to his children afterwards. And he says, Bedin Yerusha. Yerusha hi me'avosenu. Yerusha means an inheritance. We are heirs of Avram Avinu. And since God addresses Avram and he says, L'cha t'nena, I'm giving the land to you, you just have to make a ma'isa kinyan, which he did by walking the four ruchos, and then ulezarecha. And it means that your descendants have the right to inherit the land of Israel from you, from their own father. Halocha zina de din muchzekes hi viyadenu mavoseinu mahani le'inyan netilas pi shnayim bebchor. The Gemara establishes in Baba Basra that a bechor could take, he can inherit a double portion from that which was in his father's possession. Do you follow me?
Okay. Bechor was ish.
What did he say?
The bechor was.
Bechor was the firstborn who got a double portion in the inheritance when his father died.
You got two Bechorot here, fortunately. You have the Yerushmael from the one, and you have Yitzhak from the other, from Sarah.
Right. But we're not talking about that. We're talking in general about the status of a Bechor.
Okay.
Right? The status of a Bechor. He gets Pishnayim, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And the Pishnayim that he gets is called Muchzak. Muchzak means only that which was in his father's possession at the time of his father's death.
Okay.
Let's say, for example, somebody owed an outstanding debt to Reuven. Okay, and then Reuven dies. Then, let's say Chanoch is the Bechor of many children of Reuven. He doesn't get Pishnayim in that debt. He, together with all the other heirs, have equal rights to collect the debt from somebody who borrowed money from his father. That's called Roi. Roy is the flip side of Muchzak. The Dinah Bechor of Pishnayim only applies to that which is in one's father's possessions. That's called Muchzak. Now the Gemara in the Masechta Bava Basra presents the following thesis, a real chiddush. And the Gemara says that since we have halach of Eretz Yisrael muhzekes hi biyadeinu me'avoseinu, that means there was already a chazaka on this land. It was given to Avraham Avinu and to his descendants. Therefore, the Bechar has rights to Pishnayim with regard to the land that was in the inheritance to his father. Again, it may take a long time till his father could inherit it, and that might actually take place after his death, but it's already considered muhzak as if his father had possession on it during his lifetime, based on...
I didn't understand everything.
Yeah, but this is complicated.
Either he has possession or he doesn't have possession.
Right, but let's say, for example, I gave you the example of a debt, right?
Yeah.
So that debt, the father did not have possession of. He never got back the, let's say, the 1,000 that was owed him. That's right. An outstanding debt.
Right.
But when we get to karka, not to liquid assets or metal immovables, when we get to real estate, there's a new halacha called Eretz Yisrael Muhzekes Hi Biyadeinu Me'avoseinu.
Okay.
That doesn't require physical possession, like it does in the case of money. You know, the money is not in the bank yet because the debtor hasn't paid up his debt. Or if somebody has to give you back a cow that he borrowed from you, well, you know, that cow is not in your possession. There it refers to physical possession. That makes you a muhzak. But in the case of karka, of real estate, there's a super duper halacha that any karka that eventually will come into his possession, we say is already like it's in his possession.
Wow.
That's called muhzekes ilonu me'avoseinu. Again, you know, we're oversimplifying a very complicated sugya, only because you have to trust me on this. This is not absolutely critical to the presentation. It's somewhat secondary. Okay. Now, that's the first halacha of notel chelek ba'aretz. Okay. Now, at the last line of this paragraph, Asher Nira, I'm trying to sort of abridge it so that we can save some time and get to the main highlights here. He says, Echad ha-mufka, this is the last line and a half, the last sentence in this paragraph, Echad ha-mufka, if so-and-so is completely excluded from Zchus Yerusha Me'avoseinu, in other words, there's no way he could ever inherit his paternal lineage, even if Muhzekes Hilon Avoseinu is a principal, but in this exceptional case, for whatever reason, which we'll flesh out a little bit later, he is Mufka. What does Mufka mean? He's excluded legally, halachically excluded from Zchus Yerusha Sa'avos. He's not included in what we said before is Eretz Yisrael Muhzekes Hilon Avoseinu. Then he's to be classified as Eino Notel Chelek Ba'aretz. Okay, then that's what we have so far. Now keep in mind that this halacha of Eretz Yisrael Muhzekes Hilonu Me'avoseinu, which means that each Jew, as a general rule, again there are exceptions, has the right to inherit his father and inherit the land of Israel that was already in possession of his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, meaning of Avraham Avinu. That halacha is not exactly identical with the general halachos of Zechiah and Chalukah. We have something called a din klali, and then we have a din miyuchad, a general halacha that applies universally, and then we have a din mesuyam or miyuchad. This halacha of notel chelik ba'aretz, that definition, is unique to the parsha of Chalukah Sa'aretz. We'll explain a little bit better. He says the following. There's a machlokes in the Gemara Baba Basra whether or not the halacha of Muhzekes applies to Yotzei Mitzrayim or to Bai Haaretz. Either it's to those who left Mitzrayim. By the way, what percentage of the Yotzei Mitzrayim actually entered into the land? Very, very small percentage, right? They all died in the Midbar. And that's called Bai Haaretz. So we're not going to go back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim according to one sheet. We're going to go only back to the Bai Haaretz. This whole machlokes is shaycha, is relevant to the dinim of Zechiah v'chalukah baretz. In other words, if you would talk about general halachos, universal halachos of Zechiah, of monetary possession, and how you acquire ownership, then we would make no distinction between Yotze Mitzrayim and Baya Aretz. Well, that whole distinction is irrelevant. Somebody sold me a piece of land, I made a kinyan on the land, I acquired ownership over the land. What does it have to do at all with Yotze Mitzrayim or Boy Eretz Yisrael? So therefore, this whole issue of Yotze Mitzrayim versus Bnei Eretz Yisrael is relative only to this special din of Zechiah v'chalukah sa'aretz. So in other words, it's not related to the universal halachas of Yorshim, of the Parsha of Nachlos, which is in Parshas Matos. We'll get to it in a few weeks, not long. So these are dinim yuchadim, if you want to underline those words. Dinim yuchadim means, this is a brisket terminology, it's a special din of Zechiah v'chalukah, that you have rights to the land based on the fact that you have a zechiah, you're part of the whole enterprise of Eretz Yisrael muchzekes hi biyadenu me'avoseni. This is all one halacha. Now we have a second halacha. And let's see if we can figure out the second halacha. The second condition that has to be fulfilled in order to achieve membership in the club called Litol or Notel Chelek Ba'aretz is that Lemaisa Yerusha V'Yeshivo Zechiah Be'Eretz Yisrael, we need an act of conquering the land of Israel or settling the land of Israel. That makes you into a Notel Chelek Ba'aretz.
Why does he need that? Because he has Ramat Ravino.
Oh, so why does he need the second halacha? Why do we have to say that you're only considered a notel chelik ba'aretz if you can inherit the land through the process of Yerusha v'Yeshiva? He says the following: Af al pi she'eretz Yisrael ha'isa shel Yisrael od mimei Avram l'chol dineha v'isa mamon Yisrael b'kinyon me'alocha shel v'gzekes lonim avesenim mikomakom lo niskadsha. Okay, I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence, but the key word is niskadsha, or the phrase lo niskadsha. What does that mean? The land may very well pass into the possession of a Jew, but nevertheless, it still does not fulfill the requirement of notel chelik ba'aretz. It may, but I'm saying it may not. And why is that? Well, it's true that you would notel chelik ba'aretz when at the time of Avram Avinu, he made an acquisition over the land. You are one of his descendants, and therefore you have a right to say, Eretz Yisrael muchzekes ilonu me'avoseinu. But that doesn't give you necessarily, it may, but it may not give you the right to be considered as a notel chelik ba'aretz.
I mean, for purposes of Bikurim.
Right, and we're going to get to Bikurim, all mitzvahs hatulis ba'aretz, yeah. Meaning, I can own the land, but yet the land is not sanctified necessarily. I mean, it may or may not be, by virtue of Muchzekes Ilonu Me'avoseinu. Muchzekes Ilonu Me'avoseinu is a law that applies to Dini Mamonos, to monetary law. But that doesn't give Klal Yisrael a full kinyan on the land, even though it's Muchzekes Me'avoseinu. What they need is a different kind of an acquisition of the land, a whole different type. The word acquisition is probably inappropriate here. What's called kiddush. Kiddush means the land has to be sanctified. And as a result of this sanctification, there are what's called mitzvahs hatluyas ba'aretz. So take, for example, Yoshua bin Nun. He came into the land, he conquered the land from the seven nations. He has now engendered a chalos of Yerusha v'Yeshiva, meaning now at the time of Yeshua, the people conquered the land of Israel, they subdued the Goyim, and now they live b'Yeshiva, they live with great security, as Jews should live, and they do all the mitzvahs, and everything is fine. So what are we saying now? We're saying that Yeshua had to upgrade the status of Eretz Yisrael Muchzekes Ilonu Me'avoseinu from a status of dine mamonos of monetary ownership on the part of Eretz Yisrael to the level of chalos kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. What is necessary for that chalos kedusha to be chal? This is called kibush v'yeshiva. Kibush v'yeshiva, which means that the land has to be conquered and it has to be settled. At the time of Yoshua, it took 7 years to conquer the land and then 7 years to settle the land. Later on, at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, they didn't even conquer the land. They were invited to come back to the land, and they, by the Balfour Declaration, we'll call it, and they settled the land. But the settling in the land itself, which is called yeshiva, that's what sanctified the land of Eretz Yisrael. So again, you might ask, well, why do we need Yerusha the yeshiva in order to engender the status of Eretz Yisrael Mukzekes Ilona Babasei? Why don't we just say, look, Avraham Avinu made this acquisition, and we have a principle called Eretz Yisrael Mukzekes Ilona Babaseinu. Don mentioned before the exclusion of Yishmael, the exclusion of Esau. That's based on different psukim of Ki B'Yitzchak, Ki Kol Lecho Yitzchak, Kol B'Kol Yitzchak, etc. Though there, you know, there was a certain kind of a screening process, I would say. Is there a better word than screening? How do you call it when you siphon off the psalus? So you get rid of the... What would you say in English?
Screening,
you can call it? Okay, my wife accuses me all the time of inventing new words in English when I don't know a word. I just... But it may be a word in English, but
a synonym.
So that the screening process excludes Yitzchak and excludes Yishmael. I'm sorry, Yishmael and Esau.
Right.
But nevertheless, Mukzekes Ilona Mavoseinu. So why then, when we come back to the land, why do we need this whole process of Yerusha and Yeshiva? Yerusha meaning kibush, that we have to conquer the land. Yeshiva, that we have to settle in. It's our land. Doesn't it seem like an exercise of futility, totally unnecessary, superfluous, to go ahead again and establish a settlement in order to make the land ours? This land is our land because of Mukzekes Ilona Mavoseinu. Correct. So the answer is that you're right. We could inherit the land based on the principle of Eretz Yisrael Mukzekes Ilona Mavoseinu, but that's only as far as monetary ownership of the land. We need now a different kind of halacha, a different kind of engendering a status or a din in the land itself, and that's called kiddush, to sanctify the land for the mitzvos atluyus ba'aretz. And in this context, we could have a whole new halacha of eino notel chelik ba'aretz. And that eino notel chelik ba'aretz is going to be based on the fact that he, or his ancestors, I should say, were not part of the process of Yerusha v'Yeshiva. They weren't part of the process of Kiddush Eretz Yisrael to sanctify the land, make it into Eretz Yisrael as a holy land, and to therefore generate all the mitzvos atluyus ba'aretz. So where we, Rav Salvechik asks himself, where do we find the source in the Torah for this concept of Yerusha v'Yeshiva? And he says, Halacha shel Yerusha v'Yeshiva nemra b'gzeres akosim kol mokom asher tidro kaf raglechem. And this is going to engender the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael by Yerusha v'Yeshiva. The first pasuk that he mentioned is called Makom Asher Tidrov Kaf Raglechem. Okay, that's a kind of a yeshiva be'Eretz Yisrael, settling the land. And then we have another Gezeres HaKos that says Yerashtem Osa, that requires conquering the land and establishing Jewish sovereignty over the land. And forget about the nations of the world. That's part of Kiddush Eretz Yisrael. And Kiddush Eretz Yisrael is based on, again, Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So now what Rav Moshe Salvechik is going to do is he's going to develop an idea which is going to explain the difference between a Ger and an Isha, and the difference between Vida Meisers and Mikra Bikur.
Why did you need the concept of the Korah against Pishtaim? Because
we're saying that as far as the first din, that I have rights to Eretz Yisrael,
right.
I say I as a generic I, have rights to Eretz Yisrael by virtue of
Avraham
Avinu, that is amplified or clarified through the Sugya Bechar. The Bechar is only allowed to claim Pishnaim on something that's Muchzak.
Okay.
Right? what makes it muchzak? So if, you know, you could say if my father is living on the land and he's farming the land, plowing and so forth and so on, then it's muchzak.
Right.
But what about land that's going to come through a kind of process of Yerusha,
right?
Because, you know, he gets it through his father, he gets it through his uncle, through
right.
his brothers, and whatever it might be.
Okay.
There too, the Bechor has a right when his father dies to get Pishnayim. Even though it could be that land is going to come into the possession of his father after his father's gone,
mm-hmm.
and that's called Muxok.
Okay.
That's based on Eretz Yisrael Ilonim Yavu Seinu. That's the first
okay.
level of ownership of Eretz Yisrael. Now we have another level of ownership of Eretz Yisrael, and that's going to be through Kibush, through Yeshiva, Yerusha, and Yeshiva. And now once we have this framework, this twofold structure of what it means to take a part in the land, either you take part in the land by virtue of inheriting this land through your fathers back to Avraham Avinu, or you take possession of the land because your forefathers were part of the process of conquering the land and settling therein. And those two dimensions of Natal Chelik Baaretz are going to respectively reflect the dinim of Maser and Bechor and Bikur. Let's see how the Rav succeeds, Rav Moshe, I mean to say, succeeds in developing this idea. Ayin Baraman Perik Alf Milchus Chumas, Kedusha Rishon Kitcha La'aretz, Ayide Kibush, Kedusha Shnia, Ayide Chazoka. Okay, so we have in the case of the first sanctity of sanctification of Eretz, so we have the military campaign. And that was at the time of Yoshua. Then we had once that military, you know, campaign reached its fruition, and the people of Israel were exiled, then we need a new process of Kiddush when they came back 70 years later at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And that's called Chazaka, meaning that's when the Jewish people, at least 42,000 of them, it's not a great number, but settled the land. And all in all, we can say that both Kiddushes, that's called Yerusha v'Yeshiva, okay, which Yerusha meaning the first Kiddush, which was a Chazok and a Kibush, that's called Yerusha, and finally the second Kiyub of Kiddush at the time of Ezra Nehemiah, that's already Yeshiva, that means settling the land. There was no Jewish government in the land. There was no wars that were fought in order to establish, you know, Jewish sovereignty over the land. That's called Chazok. That's called Kedusha Shnia al Yidei Chazok. But let's just summarize what we've managed to prove from this concept called Yerusha v'Yeshiva. That's the paragraph that starts Mihu, if you want to see the text inside. He says, as far as Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, in order to establish this land as a unique land that's sanctified, and as the status of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, we need the following. We need Zchus Yisrael Yidei Yerusha Me Avram, right? Avram Avinu made a chazok on the land, and we inherit that right to possess the land from him. But that, surprisingly enough, even though we have Mutzekes Yilonim Me'avoseinu, we inherit it from Avram Avinu, that's not sufficient. But rather, we need an active Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Again, in the case of Kedusha Rishona, that's called Yerusha. In the case of Kedusha Shnia, that's called Yeshiva. And that's going to engender a whole new status to Eretz Yisrael. So again, what was the status of Eretz Yisrael before Yerusha V'Yeshiva? That was just a monetary possession through the inheritance, the inheritance system or mechanics. However, if you want to go beyond monetary and say that Eretz Yisrael is not just the land of Israel, but you want to say it's the land of Israel, meaning it's got a special sanctity with a special kedusha to it, for that you need Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So again, if all you need is to establish monetary ownership on the land, our claim to the land, let's say, you know, there are other nations on the land that say that we are exploiting them and we're evicting them from their rights to the land, for that all we need is Avraham Avinu. Because we inherited the rights of Avraham Avinu to exclusion of Yishmael. However, if you're talking about, let's say, Maisros or Bikurim or Trumos or whatever Dinim there are, Mitzvahs Hatlis Baretz, it's not enough just to say, well, we as a nation possess the land. Politically and financially, it's our land, according to the Halacha, based on Mukhsekes Ilona Me'amu sent from Avraham Avinu. No. Now we need an additional process, which is called Yerusha V'Yeshiva, which is Kiddush Al Yidei Kibush, Kiddush Al Yidei Yeshiva. Through this process of conquering the land and settling therein, we now endow the land with a special status of Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael. So the major, how should I say, fundamental distinction here, which is a typical brisker chakira, tzvei dinim, as we say, is the difference between Eretz Yisrael, I'll call it Shem Eretz Yisrael, and Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Shem Eretz Yisrael depends upon what? Avraham Avinu.
Right.
And then we inherit Avraham Avinu's rights to the land. But Kedushas Eretz Yisrael depends upon what? Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Okay, all that is fine and dandy, but it still doesn't seem to shed a light on our discussion. It says the following. The Alkein Yesh Lomar. Here's where he begins to hopefully to put the pieces of the puzzle together. It's the last paragraph on page Gimel. And he says the following. Kol Hani de Mufkayim. Anyone's... Yeah, bottom paragraph on page Gimel.
Okay.
He says, Kol Hani de Mufkayim Mimaisa Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Mufkayim Hemagam Michalukas Aretz. V'Einam Notlim Chelek Baretz. Okay, this is fascinating. He's saying that if you have a category of individuals, we'll call this category X. Right now it's unnamed. We'll have to figure out the name of this category. This category describes someone who cannot be part of Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Okay. Who would you imagine would fit into that category? You have a 50% chance of giving the right answer. Who could not be part of the process of Yerusha V'Yeshiva?
Our cousins.
No, I'm saying I'm giving you two choices. It's either the Ger or the Isha.
Ger.
It's the Isha. Why? Because she's not a Bas Kibush. She doesn't have the status of a military campaign. And not only that, the Halach of Yeshiva, which means that we have to settle the land and build therein, that's also incumbent upon the men. But let's see if I'm right. Again, Rav Osei, I might be wrong. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong, but the right answer is certainly not our cousins. But Rav Moshe wants to explain here, is that the status of Yishmael here? Yeah. He's trying to explain the status of Nashim and Gerim. He says, Etzem Netilas Chei Beretz Yisrael. What does it mean that you are a person who gains a portion in Eretz Yisrael? That's because of an active participation in what he calls Yerusha V'Yeshiva, to sanctify the land as a unique land on the face of the earth. We're comparing the land of Israel now to other lands. This land was sanctified. That's what gives it its unique status. In fact, Kol Zman Shelo Kavshu V'Lo Chilku. Let's go back to the first Kiddush at the time of Yeshua. Before the 14 years period after Yeshua entered the land passed, meaning before the process of Kibush, the 7 years of wars that he fought, and Chiluk, which means the 7 years that it took them till they settled the land, then Lo Nischayvu B'Mitzvos HaTluyos Baretz. So let's say, for example, you had Truma during that 14 year period of Yeshua. Are you obligated to give that truma to the Kohen? Does it have the status of Kedusha's truma? No. None of the mitzvahs that are land dependent will apply until after the 14 years, because we need to sanctify the land through a process called Kibush V'Chiluk, or Yerusha V'Yeshiva. I mean, again, they're all synonymous terms.
But this is a very confusing, Rabbi, because it says that those that were Mufka from that are Mufkaim Heim Gam Nifalukas Arts. But we already said beforehand that they had Yerusha rights from Avram.
Right. We're not up to that yet, Alan. Right now, I don't know why he changes the order. I'm not sure. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
But right now, he's picking up what I call halacha beis. You know, the second category of notel chelik ba'aretz. Again, we can get back to the first category of Mukzekes Ilonim Avuseinu as a monetary possession, but right now he's focused on the status of Eretz Yisrael as an Eretz Mekudeshes, and he's saying that if you are part of the process of Kiddush, and Kiddush means number one, Kibush, to conquer the land, to sanctify, number two, to settle the land, those who have those mitzvahs, who have the mitzvah of Kibush and Yeshiva, they will be notel, they will get that chelek in the Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael as it's being divided up at that point. Now we turn to you don't have the next page, do you?
No.
So Bosai, it depends on you. If you can give me an extra 5 minutes of overtime, then I would take the time to photocopy this.
Yeah.
Okay, so just hang in there, because I only copied the first page, because this was supposed to be the second half of yesterday's shift, but
a lot of confusing terms, because he starts off by confusing terms, because he starts one section before what he's called Kedusha. The Rishona is really the Shnia. In our terms, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia, refer to the place of
No, Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shnia.
No,
he's referring to Yeshua and Ezra coming back.
That's the second.
But he's not talking about the dinim, first dinim, second dinim. He's talking about Kedusha Rishona is Yeshua, Kedusha Sheni is Ezra. So he's saying so the first time it's by conquest and settlement, and the second one was by Kazaka.
Okay, I will say the machine is not working. The backup machine is warming up. But since we are at the end of our warm up, so he says the following. Okay, so I'm on page Dal, which you don't have. I apologize for that. But let's see what we can put together. He says the following. Afal pi, even though shaharbe lo notlu chelik ba'aretz, mikomakom ein kulam shavim bedin hafgasam. There may be many, many members and many, many classes of groups of people that did not take part, a part of Eretz Yisrael, but let's not equate them all. Yeshnam ke'elu, this one group of people that could be classified as lo notlu chelik. Why? Shelo yarshu es ha'aretz me'avosam. In other words, they weren't included in the original promise to Avraham Avinu that after he possesses the land, he passes it on to his zera, to his biological heirs. That's one group of people. And they're excluded from the principle called Eretz Yisrael Mukzekesi Biyodeinu Me'avoseinu. Now he has a second group of people. They can inherit the land. They're included in the lineage of Avraham Avinu. But they're excluded because of this halacha of Yerusha and Yeshiva, meaning they don't get a part of Eretz Yisrael because they're excluded from the mitzvah and the kiyuma mitzvah of Yerusha v'Yeshiva, which sanctifies the land. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, Nashim v'Gerim, Afal Pisha Shneim Lo Notlu Chelik Baretz, Mikol Kom Chalukim Heim B'Din Hafka'asam, meaning women on the one side and the converts on the other are totally fundamentally different as to why they are excluded from the category called Notlu Chelik Baretz. Nashim Be'emes Isnehu. Isnehu means they are included in the din of Zechia Mukzekes Ilanum Be'adenu Avosenu. They are considered Mizaro Shel Avraham Avinu. And although a Bas doesn't necessarily get a Nachla if she has other brothers, okay, here he goes into a whole... I'm just going to skip this part for now. I apologize, just because... He says, Hadin shall hafkas ha'isha. Why is she excluded from chalukah sa'aret? That's based on the pasuk in Bamidbar. Ish lefi pkudav, and the Sifri says, Yotzu noshin. That means that the yisod of chalukah sa'aret depends upon Yerusha v'yeshiva. Women are excluded from the chova, the obligation of Yerusha v'yeshiva. Again, we can talk about that at another time. And therefore, the mice of Yerusha of Yeshiva is not going to be fulfilled through the women, because because they're not obligated in Yerusha Vishi.
But neither was the Ger.
No. Well, listen to what he says about the Ger. The Ger is obligated. Let's say he was a Ger at that time.
Yeah.
He would have to participate in the war. The fact that you're a Ger, my friend, doesn't mean that you're not part of the military obligation or to settle the land. It's a din of Ish and Lo Ish. But it has nothing to do with whether you're born Jewish or you joined the Jewish folk.
You're talking about the Ger back then.
Yeah, and again, all that we're talking about is what was the status of your ancestors? You know, do you have a right to claim that your ancestors were no-till chelik b'aretz? So the women, wait a minute,
yeah.
The women have a right to say, yes, my ancestors were part of receiving the land insofar as my ancestors came through what? Through Avram Avinu. But if the Isha herself would want to claim that she has a part in the Chalukas Eretz Yisrael of Yoshua through the process of Kiddush V'Yeshua, of Kibush and Chiluk, that she can't say. And
the Ger opposite.
Yeah, so let's see again. I'm trying to figure out in the 5 minutes that you give me of overtime if I can now plug in the difference between Bikurim and Maisa Shem.
Yeah.
He says the following. The Gzeres HaKosuv of Lishmos Matos Avosam Yincholu Yotsu Gerim Vavodim, that means that a Ger is excluded from Netilas Chelik Ba'aretz, that comes under the halacha of Muchzekes Ilonu B'Yodenu Me'Avosenu, that Netilas Chelik Ba'aretz, that status is granted to someone who has a schus because of his avos, his ancestors, to receive the land through the process of inheritance that goes back to Avram Avinu. Gerim are not included in that schus because they're not called Zaro Shel Avram Avinu, and therefore that makes them excluded from the Tilas Eretz Yisrael, from Tilas Chelik Ba'aretz. Has nothing to do with Isha. Isha has lineage that goes back to Avram Avinu. She is definitely included in, what's it called, in Eretz Yisrael Muzekas Ilana Me'Avosenu. She's excluded because of the mitzvah Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Gerim, however, as far as Yerusha V'Yeshiva, Logari, what does Logari mean? They're not worse than Mishar Yisrael. Heim Nischaivu B'Mitzvah Zu. There's no p'tur of a ger from the mitzvah of Yerusha V'Yeshiva. I'll give you an example. Let's say, again, I don't want to get into political Zionism, but let's say if somebody would argue that today we have an obligation to subjugate the other nations and to settle every last inch of the land. Now, I have a friend here by the name of George. Okay, now he calls himself Gedalia, but he used to be called George or Christopher, right? And he's a Ger. Is he excluded? Is he exempt from the mitzvah of going out to battle and to conquer the land or settle the land? He's included. He's a Ptur of Isha. And that's based on the fact that Ein Darko Shalisha Lichbosh, whatever it is. But he's included in Yerusha V'Yeshiva. He's only excluded from the possibility of reciting Muvzekes Ilonu Me'Avosenu, that I inherited the land from my father. So that's clear. Okay. Now let's see. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we'll get to this. And if we don't, I don't know what to say. Can you remember this till next week? All right. Let's see what he has here. Okay. Here. Lefizan Nira. Again, I'm skipping a whole bunch of interesting things here. He says, Af debein bevidu maisu bein bemikra bikurim mishlo notol chelik baris eno kore o eno misvade mikomokom chalukim heim bidineihem. Unbelievable creative thing. He says the following, bevidu maisu. What's the source that excludes, that bumps off a person who's quote unquote eino notel chelik ba'aretz from vidui maser? That's the pasuk that says, and this is all based on a mishnah in Maaser Sheni Perikei, asher nasato lanu kasher nishbato lavosenu. Okay, if we open up to the parasha of vidui maser, it's going to say asher nasato lanu kasher nishbato le avosenu. What does that word Avosenu tell you? From Avram Avinu. Correct? This is going to exclude a Ger from Vidu Masros, because he doesn't have the right to say Me Avosenu. Okay, that's all. Again, if you read carefully the Mishnah in Maaser Sheni.
Is
And the Mishnah Masha saying, he says the following: Kasha Nishbatal Avosenu, etc. Mikan Omru, that Yisraelim Misvadim Avalo Gerim. Interesting. The Ger has no right to say, what's the key word here? Avosenu. Kasha Nishbatal Avosenu. And that's in the parsha of what? Vidui Maser. Again, what the philosophy here is, I don't know. He's just giving you simple brisk alumnus. He's not giving you the philosophy. That you have to work out for a drasha before Musaf. Why in Maaseh Sheni do you need Asher Nishbata Levoseinu? Im Kain, Kishanu Donim Al Din Yerusha Me'avram Avinu Al Yidei Shvuas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vavtachosu L'chot Nenu L'zarech Al Pi Al L'chot Shal Eretz So Mugzekas Yivonu Me'avoseinu Harei Noshim Isnehu. Women are included. Avi Mizeren Shal Avram Avinu. They are descendants of Avram. But Gerim Lesnehu, the Mishnah establishes that a Ger is excluded from Meiser, from Vidui Meiser Sheni, the Eino Mizara Shal Avram Avinu, and therefore he cannot recite the Pasuk Asher Nishbata Lavo Seinu. But women are Chayav in Vidui. Okay? Gerim are not chayv in vidui. The noshim nichlu. He repeats himself. Bichlal asher nishbatov saying gerim einu nichnosim klal b'avtocha zu. When that avtocha was given, it did not include Christopher, who's now called Gedalia, right? Because that avtocha only applied to the descendants of Avram and Vinu through Yitzhak and Yaakov. Masha enke b'bikurim hare yalfina. Oh, Masha Ein Kein B'Bikurim. All that we've spoken about now is Maaser Sheni. Now let's fast forward to Bikurim. Hare Yalfinon. From whence do we derive Ikuva? Ikuva means bumping off, you know, excluding someone who's Eino Notel Chelik Ba'aretz. Where in Kriyas, in Mikra Bikurim, do we find a source for excluding someone who's Eino Notel Ba'aretz? It's from the pasuk in Mikra Bikurim that says Asher Nasato Li, and the Mishnah says in Masechta Bikurim, who's excluded from Asher Nasato Li? An Isha is excluded from Asher Nasato Li. Why? Ein anu donim al sechias Yerusha me'Avram Avinu. Notice the pasuk mentions nothing about Avosenu here. So we're not dealing with Eretz Yisrael Muzekes B'Yodeinu Me'Avosenu, but rather Al Etzem Zechia Ba'aretz. Who would inherit a portion in the land? Asher Nasatoli. What does it mean, Nasatoli? That when Yoshua enters into the land, I'm adding that, and he sets up a Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, that's going to be given to those who have a Maisa Yerusha V'Yeshiva. How do they have a Maisa Yerusha Yeshiva? Because they're obligated in Kibush or in Yeshiva, meaning Chazaka Beretz Yisrael. Benogel is Chia Zu, with regard to this Chia of Asher Nasata Li, Gerim Isnehu, the Gerim are included. Why? Because they're also obligated in Yerusha of Yeshiva. There's no exception or exclusion of a Ger from Yerusha of Yeshiva. Venoshim Lesnehu. But women were never given the mitzvah of Yerusha of Yeshiva. Al kein dinam kam lehepach. Now everything is punkfaker, it's upside down. Dinoshim ismatu mikriya. Women are excluded from Kriyas Mikra Bikurim because they can't say Asher Nasato Li, I was not part of the process or obligated in the process of Yerusha V'Yeshiva. The Gerim Isnu, but a Ger is not exempt, he's included in the mitzvah of Kibush V'Yeshiva, so therefore he's included under Asher Nasato Li. Hence, again, we're only halfway through the Maimer, but we've gotten to the point where we can begin to make sense out of this very perplexing table here that we have on the wall, not on the table, and that is that a ger is excluded from vidui maaser, he's included in mikra bikurim, and isha is included in vidui maaser, excluded from mikra bikurim. The answer is because there are two different psukim that exclude in each case relatively, and each one is talking about a different element. In the case of vidui Masros, it says Kasher Nishbata Lavoseinu, and the Mishnah says if you can't say Asher Nishbata Lavoseinu, you can't go back to your forefathers and say that they were part of the promise to Avoseinu, to our forefathers, then you're excluded. Who's that going to exclude? Not an Isha, because she's going to inherit the land through her forefathers. But rather a Ger, because the Ger was not, his forefathers were not part of that promise to Avraham. But when we skip forward to the case of Mikra Bikurim, there the Torah says, Asher Nasata Li, and the Mishnah says in Bikurim, that comes to exclude an Isha. She's not included in the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, because Einon Atelos Chelik Ba'aretz, that's the Einon Atelos Chelik Ba'aretz that's generated by the Schus of Yerusha V'Yeshiva, because she's not part of that, but a Ger would be considered part of that. Okay?
That was really interesting.
Mamish, again, if I had another 2 hours, we would have done this slowly, but I think.
You think that you would let next week? I don't know.
Yeah, okay, we'll see.